I was just wondering if Brother Nat told about his bag getting stolen while he was in Zimbabwe. I asked for a few minutes to be able to talk about Zimbabwe because it is a nation that needs our prayers, and if you hear somebody highlighting it, it'll jiggle your memory whenever you hear the name Zimbabwe. I'm not asking you to put it on your daily prayer list, but whenever the Holy Spirit brings to remembrance to pray for Zimbabwe, and when you hear it in the news, to be able to have something that you know about it and to pray for Zimbabwe. The church all over the world needs prayer, but Zimbabwe is under particular oppression right now, and as Pastor Eddie said, the country is in a dictatorship. Mr. Mugabe has been ruling it tyrannically now for quite a number of years. And when people found out I was going to Zimbabwe, I was there a month ago, and they asked, well, why are you going there? Because they had heard about many things that are happening. And actually, before my wife and I left, we prepared as though I might not come back. We said that if I don't, we'll meet in heaven. It was just that much concern about what we had heard about going on in Zimbabwe. But it was still in my heart to go. And while there was a team of us that went, and one of the brothers I met in Boston, and we flew to London and then South Africa and then to Zimbabwe together. And he told me on the plane that we might be just going for a vacation. We went to teach pastor seminars, and I was very dismayed and could have bordered on anger because of the fact that I made all these preparations and spent quite a bit of money to go. And he was saying that there's not enough fuel in the country to guarantee getting back from where we were going. And so we arrived at our destination, and there was still not enough fuel. They could get us to where our seminars were arranged, but they didn't have enough fuel to get us back to the capital, Harare. And so we were there about a day, and then it was time to go, and there still wasn't fuel. And then there was a Christian brother who came by the place where we were staying, and the leader of the mission there worked it out, and an hour before we were supposed to actually get in the vehicle and leave, he found some fuel so that we could get to where we were going and then to return. And, you know, again, that something like that, one's wife is very happy. But anyway, just to say in regard to the country, the economics of a country affect the church. And I got it laid on my heart to prepare a series of teachings on the subject of anger. And Zimbabwe is a country that I would say anger is something that is compressed. There's a lot of anger in one nation. And my seminar teaching started, I would ask the question, what makes you angry? And I had many different answers, like the government, the economics, and then a lady spoke and she said water cutoffs. And I really didn't know what she meant. But as I was there, I found out that the water could be shut off any time. You could be in the midst of washing or shower, whatever you had to do, and the water could be cut off. And so, again, I understood some of the things that they were saying in regard to why there is angry, but I was talking to the body of Christ, the church. And just to let you know how bad the economics are, one U.S. dollar in Zen money equaled $150,000. So, actually, 50 cents would go a long ways in Zimbabwe. And I traded in just under, I had $35, and I was a multimillionaire in Zimbabwe. I had $5.5 million in Zen money. And it was just a little bundle of money about that big, but I said, I'm going to take a picture of that. For once in my life, I'm a millionaire. And so, again, as Americans, we were very rich in comparison to the economy there. There were four of us men. After one seminar, we went to dinner, and all of us had a major meal for dinner. And the brother who paid for it, he said, would you like to know what the meal cost us? And I said, sure. You know, I expected, maybe 20, 30, 40, 50 bucks U.S. He said it was just under $6 for four people with a full meal and Coke, whatever, you know. And again, all those things are affecting the country of Zimbabwe. And when we went to our first seminar, I thought with everything I had heard about the robberies and everything, Brother Nat's story about how he got robbed, all these things were told to us in advance of the trip, and I thought, wow, am I going to make it back to Harare and fly out again? Because it was just, it was really a kind of a scary introduction to the country. And we got to the city of Bulawayo, and this Christian brother who was hosting us there, he began telling us all these different things, and he had other information. Right at that time, it may be even more, but inflation was 4,000%. Unemployment was 82%, and we've never heard of figures like that in the United States. And it was just unbelievable. And this brother, he asked the question, and it's a question I asked him so many times, and he was relating it to the work of God. How can we do it? How can we do it? And as he asked the question, then he gave us the answer. And God had inspired him, given him a vision for starting churches among the poor elements of the society in Zimbabwe. And as he was talking and sharing what he was doing, I was excited. Here I was ready for people that were depressed and angry and all of that. And they very well could have been, but they weren't, because, again, of the gospel. Christ changed their lives. They had a vision to do a great work for God. The seminars that we had were tremendous. We ministered to ministers and wives. A good example of how the work of God is flourishing in Zimbabwe. I talked to one brother. He had just started his church 5 months prior to our coming, and there were already several hundred people that were meeting together in that church. And the whole situation is that from the natural standpoint, it shouldn't be working. But again, when it comes to the gospel of Jesus Christ, he causes it to flourish, even when things seem impossible. And it's that way all through the country of Zimbabwe. To me, the only bright spot really is the church and what it's doing. And so we had a tremendous opportunity to see what was happening there. And there are many brothers and sisters just like you and us that love the Lord. They're under tremendous pressures, and they need us to pray for them. And so, again, I just wanted to be able to say a few words and enlist your prayers whenever you're reminded by the Spirit, whenever you see it in the news. Several weeks ago, it was near collapse. To my understanding, it hasn't collapsed yet. It's being propped up, and probably because of the work of the church, of people who are trusting God for the nation. And so, again, I am thankful to be able to share that with you, and just to encourage you to pray for the country of Zimbabwe. Might we do that before I sit down? Heavenly Father, we're just thankful for the church triumphant, that even under the most worst of circumstances, Lord God, that it is something that is victorious and it triumphs, Lord God. And right now, Heavenly Father, we pray for many brothers and sisters in Christ, Lord, who just like us love you. And Lord, they're living in a very difficult situation and seem almost impossible, Lord, from a natural point of view. But Lord, again, we're thankful for your grace that touches people's lives. And we pray, Lord, that you'll give them greater victories, Lord, in that country. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that reports come out of that country, Lord, that'll again speak light to the rest of the world. And Father, I would lead us in a prayer, Lord, for Mr. Mugabe. My understanding is a man who, again, at one time in his past, knew your grace and had a Christian wife, Lord God. And we pray, Lord Jesus, for this man, that he would be saved, Lord God. We ask, Heavenly Father, you'll just do great things in that nation and for the continent of Africa. We thank you for these things. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.